Hi, and welcome to the Making Our Way podcast. This week, our guest is Jacob Daughtry from Other Dog Designs, as he fills Austin and I in on his 3D printed Star Wars droids. Thanks for listening. Hey guys, what's up?
What's happening?
So Christy is on death's doorstep, and we decided to go ahead and start interviewing replacements. So our first call went out to a host on more than one occasion when we needed some help. Jacob, thanks for coming on, man.
Yeah, thanks for having me. Good to be back.
We'll let you go first. What you been up to?
I mean, honestly, just a lot of 3D printing. My wife owns a toy store, and we sell toys.
So, what's the name of that if people want to check it out?
Not a huge fan of the name. It was we bought into the business, so it was pre-existing, but it's a store called Crazy Toys. It's in Salisbury, North Carolina. And we do a little bit at a local market on the weekends, and then selling online. It's mostly like, you know, used toys. She will buy collections. But part of the business is my 3D printed stuff, so that keeps me fairly busy. I have a handful of designers that I've signed on to be an authorized seller. So like a lot of little articulated, like little dragons and stuff like that is what a lot of people like. So
is it kind of more one-off stuff like the dragons, or are you doing like missing guns for G.I. Joes and stuff like that?
I do a little bit of that custom stuff, but it's mostly, I have a handful of like just little, a lot of this little impulse stuff. People come in to buy the G.I. Joes and stuff like that, and they'll see my little, you know, $2 articulated shark or whatever that's sitting on the counter, and they'll throw that into their case. So it's a lot of little stuff.
And you may not know the answer to this, but I was kind of curious. I wonder, is there any market or anyone out there that modifies, like, okay, so here's He-Man, but I want him to have Link's sword from Zelda. And so, like, you can do, you know, I want him to have the gun from The Fifth Element.
Yeah, there is a whole subculture of customized toys. Matter of fact, there was just recently in Asheville, like last weekend or the weekend before, was a whole con for custom toy people. People that either modify existing toys, kit bash, or create their own scratch-made toys. So there definitely is a subculture for that. I'm not really tapped into it, but it's definitely there. And there's some pretty interesting stuff happening. So
the printers, they run 24/7 or what?
I've got four printers in the house. One of them has the one that got me started has more or less been retired. And then I have three Bamboo Lab printers that run as close to 24/7 as I can get.
I'm so happy for you, because I know it was hard for you to take the plunge to buy the nice printer.
Yeah.
And you really have, over the last year or so, jumped up into that place. And that's why we've got you on today, because, you know, later on we're going to talk about some really big projects you've been working on. But gotcha. Before we get to that, Austin, what you been up to?
Oh, man, I've been building sheds again.
More sheds, the same shit?
This is a new shed. So I built the metal shed for the compressor room.
Right.
And then I built a greenhouse. And then today is an 8x10 shed from the greenhouse company.
And where are y'all putting all these sheds?
My dad is putting these sheds everywhere. Like, look around the property. I'm like, why don't we just build one big building?
Yeah, but y'all look like fucking Hooverville over there with a bunch of. Yeah. You're going to have hobos move in. I know I'll build the word hobos.
Yeah.
How's the quality on these compared to the one that you built? You were talking about
the one that we did today is way better, but it's also five times the cost of the one we built the first time, so it should be better. But what's taking us so long is we're framing like a platform, like making a deck and then putting plywood on top and then building the structure on top of it. So
it's a big deck or a small deck?
I mean, it's 8x10. That's good enough for most things, I'd say.
Yeah.
So now here's the question. Before, when you were talking about the last one, you said, you know, for the cost, you couldn't build it yourself. And so the quality was understandable. So if this one's five times as much, how does that work out as far as scratch built versus the kit?
Well, when you live in influencer world, it works out great because they send it to you for free.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to talk about that, but
would have to buy it. How does it compare?
You'd have to buy it. I would stick build it.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah, I would stick build it. Yeah, because I mean, just the you know, because like what it the weight of their materials because of shipping and things like that, they have to take that into account. Like, I would just stick build it. But that being said, my stick build would probably cost an extra, you know, third more than what it was. But I think it'd be worth it.
If gotcha. Pawpaw Ridge was smart, he'd turn all these sheds into like short-term Airbnb rentals, and then all his fans could come stay and work the harvest with him. You know, he gets
right.
out of it.
There you go.
I thought about renting these all of these out. Like, I've got different tiers for high caliber camp. Like, which one, you know, this is the real nice one that's closer to the bathroom. This one's, you know, this one's by the compressor, so that's going to kick on a lot. You're going to, it's going to suck.
That's
not so earmuffs.
I'm assuming Dean's already got the best one reserved.
Yeah, it's called the house.
I told Dean, I was like, this year, buddy, you're going to have a roommate. He's like, who's that? I was like, Arlo.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. Me and dogs get along.
But so, yeah, I've been doing that. And I don't really know what else I've been doing. I feel like I've just been doing that. It's we're a little early this week, but some pen orders coming through. You know, just I'm just all over the place all the time now. So it's not really. I used to have like, so this week I'm doing this project and this week I'm doing it. Now I'm like, I'm doing every video that I can possibly think of to do, plus whatever my dad's got me for me to do, and then try to sell a few pens here and there too.
Nothing wrong with that. We didn't record last week, and that was my call because I was like, I'm too stressed out to do this shit. I didn't realize Christy was on death's doorstep, but we kind of all needed the day off. And then this week, so if you listen to Patreon from 2 weeks ago, I kind of at the end was like, yeah, we're going to look at a house. And that was, you know, Kristen had kind of set up while we were recording that she wanted to go look at a house. Well, it went from look at to we're going to buy this house, I think. And if you've ever bought a house, I haven't bought a house in a long time, over a decade, but this shit is so stressful with dealing with, you know, you've got a realtor, but is the realtor really on your side? Or the Kristen calls them the cartel because she thinks they're all out to steal our money and that the realtor's working with their buddies and they refer you to their friends because they get kickbacks. And this is, you know, Kristen's mind. So I've got to find our own inspector. I've got to find our own bank lender. I've got to find. And so I'm constantly on the phone with different people trying to find better rates and better situations and who can we trust and who's going to fuck us over. And it's been crazy. And then on top of that, I bought that damn FJ40 and it stopped starting on me. And so the battery's dead. The alternator need to be replaced. Like, I've been playing mechanic shop for the last 2 weeks. So the truck's been great. It was just when it would get cold, it wouldn't start. And so I looked, the battery had a sticker on it. It was 4 years old and I knew the guy wasn't driving it very often. So the battery was just done. And so I went to get a new battery. And when I was looking at it, the connector on the alternator was fried. And so I was like, well, the alternator, I don't know if it's bad, but something happened to make this wire get fried. So I replaced the alternator and you'd have been so proud of me, Austin. I went to AutoZone, told them the make and model. They ordered the alternator. It looked in the picture like the same thing, but when it came in, it was a bigger body. So this is a Colombian truck. They ordered the American alternator. So it was bigger than the one I took off. And the tensioner, you know, so like the slot where you would slide to add tension, was hitting the body and I couldn't tension and bolt. It didn't work. And so I brought it back here and bent it and made an extension for it with a, you know, piece of steel and the drill press and my house grinder, and made a new bracket basically so I could tension this new alternator. And then I had to figure out how to wire it because of course the wires didn't connect. And of course, none of this is on the internet because one thing that's kind of hung over since January is when I'm focused on stuff, I'm not thinking about documenting for people's opinions right now. I'm sure it'll come back eventually, but right now I'm just thinking about like getting this fucking car started, not the rest of that stuff. And so the day my wife comes back and says, I want to go look at this house tomorrow, I just ordered $1,000 in parts for this truck. So I've been just putting parts on the truck when she's not looking and ordering more parts when she's not paying attention. And so I got a new starter coming tomorrow and some plastic pieces that were cracking because they're old to replace, and I got all the new rubber and gaskets, but it's been a lot of fun. I've just been having trouble with it starting in the morning. I was thinking about emailing Brad because he helped with the Porsche to see if he's got any ideas. But I'm thinking this new starter will help. All that's while that's going on, because we're moving, I have to get all the rest of the cars running as well. And we have another Land Cruiser, an 85, that hasn't run in 4 years. I had a carburetor for it, and I'm trying to swap it out. Well, I wanted to drain the old gas out. And I asked Kristen how much gas was in the car when you parked it. And she goes, "Oh, I never kept a lot of gas in it. It's probably just a few gallons." So I have this 3 gallon drain pan I put under it. I pull the plug, and gas is pouring out. And I'm like, there's way too much head pressure for this to only be 3 gallons. So I
Yeah.
run, find a 5 gallon bucket that was like full of spare parts, throw them on the ground, run back out there, swap, like do a hot swap, slide the 5 gallon bucket under, and there was more than 8 gallons of gas in the car. So I had to dig a trench on the, like it's parked kind of on a slope. I had to dig a trench so that the gas would run downhill into my catch basin and then run and grab the hose and fill it with water. So if you have like a oil or gasoline, it'll float on water. So I don't want it soaking to the soil. So I'm trying to fill my moat up with water so that the gas can sit on top and I can pad it up. I have a bundles of spill pads from what I do for a living. And so I'm out there padding up oil, and Kristen walks outside. "What's that smell?" I was like, "Well, we just created a Superfund site on the side of the house, and I'm trying to clean it up. If you would please go back inside and don't ask me any more dumb questions." So
No,
yeah, that was a lot of fun. Needless to say, I stopped working on that car immediately after that and went back to the one that I'm enjoying.
turn the hose on, because I heard from you one time that the solution to
The
pollution is
pollution is
dilution.
dilution. That's right. That's exactly right. And that's what I did, was after I padded up, I just kept hosing the area down. Oil floats. So, I mean, it's not like you're washing it into the ground. You're saturating the ground. The oil is going to come to the top. And then you just put pads out and step on it. The right thing's to dig up all the soil, but I ain't going to be here long anyway. So, fuck it.
I'm sure that living at a house that's as old as that and in
Yeah.
Houston, it's had more gas than that spilled on
There's
it.
actually old, like, Popular Mechanics articles where they tell you how to dispose of your used oil, and they show you like digging a hole with rocks and you pour your used oil to let it, go out into the ground. So I'm not that worried about it.
You know what my grandfather used to do with his old oil?
Pour it
He
along the
would
fence
pour it
line.
along the side of the driveway,
Yeah,
and that
kill
would
the.
kill the grass right on the
Yeah.
edge.
Oh,
Yeah.
yeah. Yeah. Well,
That's it,
definitely
man.
pour it on you'd pour it on fence posts like a poor man's creosote.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, we got some ants that could use some old rusty gasoline poured on them. Well,
I
that's the
mean,
problem. So I only have one gas can. I need to, like, I have to transport this to the recycle center, and I have, at least 8 gallons of gas plus what I picked up. And so I only took 5 gallons with me, and I've got a 5 gallon bucket in the back with gasoline in it right now. I got to dispose of the rest of it.
To be fair, I feel like you deserve that whole situation because you asked your wife how much fuel was in a vehicle that she hasn't driven in 4 years.
Yeah, but
I
I had
couldn't
no
tell you how much
idea.
fuel is in a vehicle that I've drove last week. So.
What I should have done was put the battery back in it and then turn the key and just seen. But I don't know. I was like, "Hey, how much gas was I in?" "No, not much." You're right. I shouldn't have listened to her. But yeah, so that's what's going on over here.
Much like your solution to pollution, my solution to old gas is adding a shit ton of new gas.
Yeah,
That's
well,
like
apparently this
enough.
bitch was full. And so the whole thing was it would start, but it wouldn't run. Like, it would start and then die. And I was like, "Oh, the carb either needs to be cleaned or the fuel filter." So I replaced the fuel filter and it was still doing it. I said, "You know what? I'm just going to replace this carburetor. It needs to be broken down and I don't have the time for all this." Well, I should have just cleaned the carburetor because I am way down a rabbit hole. I don't need to be down. But yeah, so I've got a few weeks to get this shit running, or I guess it's going to stay here when we move.
Yeah, have them tow it to the junkyard.
What I need it to move because I don't know how I'm going to get all my tools out of this shop. Like, how am I going to move this metal lathe out of here? We moved it in on a cart I built, but I've since cut that cart up. I mean, do I really need to weld new carts to put this on? I was thinking about just some 2x4s with some wheels would probably be good enough for a one-time move. But I don't know, man. I've got the table saw, the band saw, that thing. I mean, like, my house grinder, I can carry that. My welding machines, I can carry that. But that lathe is keeping me up. I have no idea how I'm going to move it.
I mean, your in-laws don't have some sort of rig for their machine shop that they.
Yeah, at their machine shop. It's called
Yeah, but I mean, they don't
Forklift.
have a vehicle like a rollback or anything like that.
No, they've got a car trailer that has a winch on it, and it's a pretty substantial car trailer,
That
but I can
word.
winch it on, but how do I get it off?
You don't have a engine hoist?
No, I don't.
No. Go get one to Harbor Freight. You're going to need one anyways.
Yeah, well, at the new house, right? I have nowhere to put it over here, so.
They fold up pretty small.
Yeah, I think you can make a trailer hitch for them too.
I've seen that.
Yeah, well, so shit, I might just rip the wall out, back my new little Land Cruiser up, pick it up, pull it out.
There you
It's
go.
so funny. It's like driving a boat. The steering is so sloppy, and that's why it's scary to go fast. Is because the faster you go, you're just doing this faster. You're slop steering faster. But 35 is fun. Anything over that, it gets a little. You definitely can't drink and drive because you'd be nauseous by the time you got out the car.
You have to drink rum like an old sea captain.
Yeah, maybe that's the key. Drink rum, not beer.
We'd like to thank the folks over at Patreon for helping us with support to the podcast. It is patreon.com/makingourway. We've got on our top tier, we've got Marion Ward from Creative Ward Gallery, Scott Oram from Daddy Yourself, Ozark Spirit, Chris Shelby, Nick Birchtold, and Andrew Richard Makes.
Jacob, thank you so much for coming on. Why don't you tell our listeners who you are and what it is that you do?
All right, so I'm Jacob. I'm out of North Carolina. I have my Instagram handles Other Dog Design, and mostly these days I'm pretty much exclusively 3D printing. Do not a whole lot of designing my own files. Mostly I'm 3D printing other people's files. But it's out of my whole life, out of all the hobbies I've had, and I'm definitely a hobby collector. I'm definitely a get into something and move on to the next thing real quick. For some reason, 3D printing has been the thing that has really stuck with me. It's the only thing that I've really put a whole lot of time into and still really interested in it. So just a whole lot of 3D printing. My print farm's currently four printers, three of which run basically 24/7. And a lot of stuff I do is like little toys, articulated stuff. Again, like I said earlier, my wife runs a toy store, so a lot of little stuff, and then some custom stuff when people ask me to print specifically. So yeah, mostly 3D printing.
And then we wanted you to come on to discuss. You've recently done in that toy collector vein, two really big items. You mind telling us what those are?
Yeah, so those are my two biggest projects so far. They're both still ongoing. I've printed a full size, fairly movie accurate pit droid. You'll have seen that in Star Wars Episode One, The Phantom Menace, or in The Mandalorian. I think definitely used for more effect in The Mandalorian, and then also the B1 battle droid, the Roger Roger battle droid from the original trilogy, or from I'm sorry, from the sequel trilogy, prequel trilogy, episodes 1, 2, and 3.
Well,
So
let's break it down one at a time. Let's start with the B1 battle droid. The first thing that kind of caught me off guard was the size. How big is that B1?
all in, when he's standing up straight, he's a little over 6 foot, so probably 6'2" ish.
6'2". Yeah, I mean, the Jedi's kind of cut through them like they're nothing, but this is a substantial.
Yeah, that was the thing. I don't know that that scale ever, you never really see that in the movies. You never really realize it because of how they're using the film. But I could see where, if a robot that size was coming to you in real life, in the real world, they would be fairly, I mean, they're used for comedic effect because of the voice and the Roger Roger and all that stuff. But they would be, I mean, they would be a weapon of war, and they would be fairly scary because of their size. I mean, they're big.
You mentioned you've got a bamboo printer. Bamboo doesn't make a 6 foot printer. So how many parts do you think it takes to print one of these out?
So the files that I have are broken down fairly well. There's a couple of options for either like a big massive printer, like I think the Cobras or whatever, the huge ones, or the Bamboos. It's broken down, I would say probably, 50 parts or whatever. It's about a couple weeks of printing time.
Yeah, that's what I was gonna
So,
ask. Is it a month, over a month to print this thing?
Not quite that much, and a lot of it is just time management. If you can
Right.
figure out how to load the plates so that they run, I do. I think that's like my geek brain. That's the part of the hobby. One of the parts of the hobby that I really like is doing the math, figuring out, okay, I'm going to sleep 7 hours tonight. So if I run this print, it'll be ready when I get up in the morning, and I can run it when I get home from work. That one will be done, and I can do. And so I can legit, I will organize my prints so that my printers run as close to 24 hours a day as I can get them. My power bill does not thank me. But it's, you know, so with that battle droid, it was, I would lay out the build plates based on if it an overnight print versus I'm at work print. And that's the beautiful thing about the modern 3D printing is that you can now, I feel comfortable trusting these prints to where as long as it starts printing, I'll walk away from it and I will sleep or I will go to work and I'll trust that when I get home from work, I'll have a successful print and not a pile of spaghetti. So that's made it worthwhile. So
you're printing out 50 build plates or, you know, some number of parts. What's the organization like as far as, you know, you talked about print time, not build time. So you're not printing from the feet up. What's the organization? How are you laying parts out? How are you tracking what goes where? You know, what's the Lego assembly like?
Actually, oddly enough, I am building. I usually do build from the feet up.
Okay. This,
because I like the thing that keeps me motivated to keep going after it is to see it being built. So I will start and, you know, I might do the hips before I do the thighs or whatever, but the first thing I always print on is the feet. So I can actually start physically putting it together in my room. Now, the downside to this is that now that it's completely printed, my progress on this project has basically stopped. It's not done. I need to glue. I need to sand. I need
so
to
the printer print. Was a much harder worker than Jacob.
Oh, so much harder. So I think the idea, is I'm going to just print another one that's already colored. I think I'm just, instead of doing gray filament, I'm just going to get the filament in the color that I want it to be and just print it and be done with it.
All right. That was a question I had was, why did you pick gray filament? What was the thought behind that?
Okay. So this one, I want to do a full, like I want to do an actual like prop build. So the idea of printing, sanding, priming, painting, weathering, I want to do that whole process. Like the idea of being eventually being able to do, you know, screen out. I would love to have a full collection of just any cool prop from a movie that I'd like to have. I can't afford, you know, actual screen and use prop, but I can make my own now. That's the thing.
You printed me the fertility idol from Indiana Jones.
So, and yeah, the idea of just being able to do that and make it for yourself and have it. So I want to be able to do the full, like the quality that comes straight off the printer is wonderful, but I want it to be that next level. I want it to be, you know, just that one step up. So with the Battle Droid, the idea was just, I buy the filament for this one in 5 kilogram rolls versus your standard 1 kilogram roll. So you get a little bit cheaper, but it's also a filament that's made for cosplay parts. So it's an easy sand PLA, which means it's a little bit, it does a little bit, a lot of filaments. If you try to sand them, they'll gum up your sanding pad because the plastic actually melts versus abrades. So this filament is designed specifically to be able to be sanded. And you can get it 5 kilograms at a time. So I can put one big roll and just have it run.
What's the name of that filament?
It's made by a company called Polymaker, who's pretty readily available on Amazon. And it's called Cosplay, PLA instead of PLAY.
Oh,
Cosplay.
Clever.
So they have two versions of that filament, a version A, version B. Version A is easy sand. Version B is easier to sand than normal PLA, but it's stronger than version A. So if you were doing, say, cosplay parts, you might be in a hotter situation. You're going to be out in the, like, you know, outside in the heat, or if it's going to be something that might get a little bit of wear and tear, you're going to want something a little bit stronger than just your standard PLA. So they have two versions of that. And so far I've been happy with it. It sands pretty well, takes primer really well. One thing is, I think if you getting the right primer makes all the difference in the world, as far as how easy it is to move from one thing to the next. Most places that you see people using the Rust-Oleum filler primer, the Rust-Oleum 2-in-1, I'm here to say the U-Pole that you get it, I think, AutoZone. It's like that next level of it goes on good sans frame. So that's my little bit of advice, is U-POL primer. Just nobody from North Carolina buy it, because I keep trying to get all the stock. So, but yeah, it's good stuff.
So let's talk beyond the 3D print. Do you have any plans to incorporate other elements? You know, some metal here, some other plastic there, or any, you know, some shoelaces? I don't know.
Right. So the, you know, with every project, the idea is you go to school, you learn a little bit, you up your game. So this one is the priming, painting, weathering. That's kind of my school on these. After that, the plans are, I want to learn the electronics to be able to integrate LEDs,
lights,
animatronics, all that sort of stuff. And, you know, and down the line, eventually would love to have like a metal lathe, so that if I'm building something, I can actually do metal parts on stuff. Cause there, I mean, you know, there's a lot of stuff that a 3D printer will do that's pretty cool, but there's something completely different about being able to actually machine a part out of metal or something like that. And each thing has its place. So, you know, with each project, I like to expand the knowledge base a little bit.
Man, a sensor where you, when you walk by it, either just says Roger, Roger, or it says, you know, halt, or what, one of the things from the movie.
Yeah. So yeah. For sure. For sure. For sure.
Really sweet.
Yeah. And, I have to say, like, you know, shout out to the guy who designs the files. He's called Droid Division. He sells on Etsy. The plans are pricey for a reason. They're well designed. They print pretty well. And it's a, you know, he basically has it where, you know, if you sell one, just buy another set of plans. And basically that's his licensing, you know, and when you're talking with something as big as the battle droid, by the time it's painted and everything, if I was going to sell it, I would sell it for so much that the cost of the plans is a drop in the bucket. But it's definitely worth it, to get the good plans. You know, again, part of learning on every project is I want to eventually be able to do it myself, to skip that set, you know, not have to pay somebody else for it, but not there yet. And why, you know, there's no reason to reinvent the wheel. He's already got one out there that I'm not going to be able to beat, even if I knew how to model. So,
well, let's talk about the pit droid. So that's the one that kind of looks like a little miner or something. They worked on the speeders in the Phantom Menace.
Yeah.
What were some differences printing it versus the battle droid?
So real similar projects. They're both by the same designer. So his design style was very similar, and you got to think they were both designed by the same, prop designers
from the same movie,
from the same movie. So there are some similarities just because they went down that, you know,
what they thought a robot looks like. Right.
All right. But, you know, some interesting, so it's smaller. So it's, you know, that one was definitely a quicker print. That was the one I did first because it was kind of the entry level. I wasn't sure if I was ready to commit to the full size, you know, cause the battle droids, you know, materials by themselves, you're getting into the hundreds. But that's before you get into, you know, the time for painting and stuff like that. You know, there's a lot of little cool stuff like the pit droid. One thing that I thought was really interesting was he found the, I don't know if you've seen them. They're the Halloween masks. That's like a mirror. It's just like a mirror face. It's just like an oval. Well, you can cut those, and they work perfectly for a little reflective lens.
In the middle,
a little eye stalk, and you can wipe them with a little bit of acetone, and it weathers that mirroring surface just perfectly.
So he gave directions on stuff like that, on some of the weathering techniques.
Yeah, just a little suggestion. And there's a fairly active community on Facebook, Discord, whatever, for droid builders. You know, the most famous ones are going to be like Bob from I Like to Make Stuff doing a full-size R2-D2.
R2.
Yeah. But, I mean, you know, all the droids, rainy droid that's so speared in Star Wars, there's somebody out there making it. And this guy makes probably the most famous versions of the ones that he's put out designs for. So he hasn't done an R2, but he's done a lot of the other droids.
It's really cool. It's something I'd love to have in my house. You know, it's kind of like the next step beyond a Lego set is something like this.
Oh yeah.
I'm curious, how do you go from the print bed to a, you know, stand on its own droid? You know, what's the techniques to add structure and support?
So, it depends on the size of the droid. For the pit droid, really just the bolts. Like he, One of the interesting things about his design, he used what they're called furniture bolts. If you think about like the IKEA, they're like the hex nut that slides into the or it's just a bolt and it slides into a hex nut
A
and it gives you
locking
two
key, yeah.
smooth sides on either side, and you just tighten up with two Allen wrenches. Well, all his designs are built around that size bolt kit. So you just buy a handful of those off of Amazon, you're good to go. Now with the Battle Droid, you're talking about 6 feet, so there's a lot of torque, especially on like the ankles and stuff. So that's built off of 3/4 inch rod, runs from the ankles to the hip. So the legs look poseable because he put a little bit of an angle in them, but they're not actually. They're rigid. And the same thing with he does an IG-88 droid, which was the if you're familiar with the Mandalorian, was the assassin droid from the first season, well, actually both seasons. That one is again 3/4 inch rod, runs from the feet up to add that rigid structure, and then you have your arms and stuff are flexible.
Is there some kind of base or something you plan to put them on?
No, I mean they both stand perfectly well just on their feet. You can get an I like you can get you could put a base to it if you wanted it where it wasn't movable, but for because I don't have kids. You know, I don't have
Yeah.
people that are constantly messing with it. Just it's fine, kind of standing on its own.
Man, if you knew a guy with a fiber laser, you could do like a plaque at the bottom or something, you know.
Oh, trust me, you're getting phone calls. I've got a couple of things you're gonna,
You
yeah.
know, one thing, you've got a CO2, and I was going to say, you know what works really good is at the box stores, they sell aluminum kick plates for doors. So it's an aluminum plate that has a finish on it to look like brass or copper or whatever, but your CO2 laser will take that finish off. So you can buy those plates, cut them to size, put them in a CO2 laser, and you can etch whatever you want on it.
Oh, that's a
So
really good
that's
idea.
what, when I
Yeah.
did my house laser, I took his logo, my logo, the date I built it, the tech specs on it. So you can have
Nice.
like, you know, B1 battle droid, this movie, these specs, whatever the specs are on the droid,
Yeah.
and put that on a base plate or something. I don't know, might be kind of neat. Does
Yeah,
he
that's
have
very cool.
plans for a Mr. Bones?
There are plans for Mr. Bones. And I've already got them. I think down the road, like maybe not the first one I do, but like down the road, that's in the plans,
Yeah,
is to
that's a
make.
character I'd love to see in a movie one day, or movie or show one day.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And you know, and a lot of that too is like, you know, how do you want to finish it? Because you can try to go live action movie accurate, or you can do the more
Cartoons, or
stylized type
yeah.
paint job, a little bit of the cel shading and stuff like that to give it more of the animated look, you know.
Yeah.
So
It's really cool, man. And I know you aren't quite finished with them. The reason I thought about them is every night, every Saturday when we do our Zoom call, every now and then we'll catch them in the background. And I told you I'd love to see a leg lamp print from one of those. I think that'd be a pretty
oh
neat.
yeah, it's already in the works. It's
Yeah,
already in
I
the
think
works.
that'd
That's
be
the
pretty neat to see. And there's a few other things. I mean, a mic boom, that's a droid arm. I mean, I think finding other ways to incorporate, you know, so that post prequel life where there's all these droids being repurposed. I think, you know, you could probably sell some products around that if you could think of things.
Oh yeah, the leg lamp was definitely the front. Like it was immediately, I finished the first leg, sanded and primed and smooth, and it was just standing there, and it was just immediately, it's an important prize, you know.
Yeah, it's fragile though.
It's for Geely. It might be French.
Middle tier of our Patreon, we've got Tony Langer from Langerworks, Susan DePlantis from Hearth and Garden Art, Stephanie Taddeo, Kyle with Footwork Woodworking, Dwayne McDowell, and Eric from Overall MakerWorks.
All right, so I wanted to talk to you about your. I know you're a hoarder of filament, which is coming from me. Which, you know, I probably have 40 rolls, which to me is a lot.
Those are
And then
rookie
you ship,
numbers, rookie.
right? So, what's your go-to? You know, I've asked you. I actually talked to you about this off the podcast, but let's talk about it on the podcast so maybe you can help some other people. What are some of your go-to storage solutions for all of those rolls of filament?
Okay, so I have two main solutions that I use. One is just 3D printed brackets with 3/4 inch dowel rods hanging on the wall. You know, I've probably got 50 or 60 rolls on the wall. It was, you know, a couple hours worth of printing and, you know, $20 worth of dowel rods, and it hangs on the wall. And that's most of them. Now, if you don't have room on your wall, or you have more, like me, you have more rolls than that will hold, IKEA sells a little cheap kitchen cart for like, I don't know, 15 or 20 bucks, maybe. It snaps together and it's like it's purpose made to hold 20 or 30 rolls of filament. I mean, the shelf distances are the perfect height, width, depth, everything. The space between the shelves is look like somebody took a roll of 3D filament and said, how do we design a shelf around this?
Right.
I mean, it's that perfect. And I mean, they're little cheap plastic carts. I mean, they're, you know,
yeah.
But
I think when I went and looked it up, it was like $9.55. Oh, like they must have been running a sale or something.
Yeah, just ridiculously expensive and super. Like they're great. So that's probably about a third to half of my storage is in those versus, and then the rest is on the wall or in the printers.
Do you worry about because like this is a, my wife, as soon as she walked in here and she saw like half of mine on the wall above me are still in plastic.
Mm-hmm.
And she's like, let's cut all the plastic off so you can see like all the colors. And I'm like, that's mm-hmm. a really cool look, but we're not going to do it because we live in Virginia, the most humid place besides Houston world. Yeah,
for sure.
And I was just curious if what you do.
Yeah, I've been lucky. I've had a lot of good results. Again, I have central air. The right. humidity in my house stays relatively low. And where I'm located, it gets humid, but not like coastal Virginia or lowland Louisiana humid. I'm not, you know, Mississippi humid.
Right.
So I've not had a whole lot of problems with humidity in my print. So I don't wrap any of my stuff in plastic. I barely dry my stuff. There are now some filaments are more hygroscopic than others. I have a roll of TPU. If I'm going to use it, I'm going to dry it first. I have a roll of wood filament or nylon, carbon fiber nylon. The ones that are known for being hygroscopic, the ones that really suck in the moisture, I'll dry those first before I use them.
How are you doing that?
Filament dryer. Okay. I mean, it's you know, there's tons of options. Most printers, like if you have a Bamboo Lab that's enclosed, you can actually use it as a filament dryer. There's a setting for it or some G code you can get online to make it run.
Yeah. Right? You believe them?
Yeah.
You believe them?
Yeah, it would probably work.
Okay.
You know, you can buy food dehydrator, you can put it in your oven. There's tons of ways, but at the end of the day, an actual purpose built filament dryer costs about the same as two rolls of filament. So if you're in a place where you actually, the humidity is a concern, I don't really understand the people that cheap out or that do the DIY or the whatever, you know,
right.
It's an investment. I mean, I get it. If you just do not have the money to invest in it, but if that's the case, you probably don't have the money to invest in the filament in the first place. So,
right.
You know,
yeah, I'm with you. I hate poor people too, Jacob.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. No, this is America. Just go in debt for your hobbies. Put it on a credit card. That's my advice. Just go into debt. Capitalism thanks you. So,
yeah, that's so. I was curious about the you know the it's sucking up moisture in the air.
Yeah,
and so I've been because the AMS on top, you put the silica packets and stuff in there, and I was like, man, I wonder how critical this actually is. You know, I'm keeping it in my office, which stays climate controlled,
right?
But, and then I've switched where now, cause like you can only hang so much on the wall. Right. And so you had those, carts, the kitchen carts. And I just picked up that big, new steel file cabinet thing, which is what I put my printer on top of. And just so it works out that holds each one of the, cause it's bigger than it looks on video. And it holds probably, it probably would hold 40 rolls of nice. Filament in That's the two great. Drawers. Yeah.
That's great.
So I think I'm good to go with that for now.
Yeah. I think with like anything with any hobby, there's going to be for every problem you have 40 people with 42 different opinions online. And everybody tells you that their way is the only way and any other way is ridiculous. You know, it's so subjective as far as where you're at. If you don't run into, if your prints aren't bubbling and hissing and you're not seeing any excess stringing or loss of print quality, then don't worry about it. It's fine. It's not like, You go online and people act like if you leave a roll sitting out in 24 hours, you might as well just throw that roll away because it's just going to be full of water and dripping, you know. But it's, I have rolls that are, you know, a year, 2 years old that have been out the whole time and they print just like the day I got them. They might be a little bit more brittle, a little more brittle, but I don't really have a problem. So, you
Right.
know, but it's just my environment with anything. It's just learning your space and adjusting to it. So.
And then you said you're mostly using Polymaker.
I would say a majority of mine is Polymaker. The unfortunate thing is that I have Bamboo Lab printers with AMSs, which don't like cardboard spools, and
Right.
Polymaker only comes on cardboard spools. So I have to respool most of my filament. But yeah, I've had a fair amount of luck with Polymaker, eSun, Sunlu, Bamboo Labs, trying to think, CC3D and Elegoo. Those four or five brands, I would say, are 95% of the filament I've gone through. You know, and I go through, I probably buy, I'm, you know, anywhere from 5 to 10 rolls a week off of Amazon. So
Damn.
that's,
Wow.
yeah.
Yeah, you're printing 6-foot-tall droids. You need it.
I go through a fair amount. Now, I don't need all that. That's why my collection keeps growing. You know, I might buy a whole roll to use, you know, 50 grams off of it, but you know, I had to have that color, so I had, you know, I have to buy it. So,
Yeah, the one thing I've been using the Sunlu, and I've noticed on Amazon, if you, so you click Sunlu, just like type in, like I type in matte black, and then I go to you know, I list like all the different colors that they sell. And if you click like the additional, like show all for sale, they'll have like 10 or 12 packs that are hidden down there. And sometimes they'll pop up on sale. So like I just bought a ton of Sunlu black matte for it was like $9 a roll
Nice.
because it was like so cheap. And it was only like a day that it was that price. And then the next day it was back up to what you would normally expect. But I messaged, as soon as I secured mine, I messaged a bunch of people that I know that 3D print that just use black. And I was like, well, if you use a ton of just black, this is probably the best deal you're going to get.
No, I don't think I got that email. I don't think I
Well,
got
I thought you
text
were just
message. Yeah,
Polymaker.
no. Whoop. I've been a real big fan. Like matte black filament, or especially matte black or carbon fiber filament, is like printing on easy mode. Like they just, the quality just looks so good. And so I would say I probably print black, matte black Polymaker is, you know, a quarter to half of my prints. Start with that. Anything that I'm gonna paint or rub and buff or anything like that, that's where I start. So, but I need to try some of the other brands, the Sunlu, because I don't think Sunlu's had has had matte for that long. But the Sunlu, the Overture, some of the other matte blacks, because they're all pretty close. So,
Right.
I can
Very
get it for
cool.
$9 a roll, I'm gonna try.
Well, speaking of rub and buff, this is Valentine's Day night, and we know you got a busy night ahead of you. So, if you would tell everybody where they can find you.
Pretty much just on Instagram. Don't really post there near as much as I used to. I'm, you know, surrounded by all you influencers, and you would think some of that would rub off on me, but it hasn't.
Just
But
that
it's
guy, not
everybody.
me. I don't ever post. Well, look, before we let him go rub and buff, we got two things we got to ask him. It's a little out of order, but we've been going to this new segment where we call like shop scares. So in the 3D printing world, what's the most, death-defying or oh shit moment you've had when it comes to 3D printing in your work area?
So for 3D printing would be something like start a print and you forgot to take the old print off, which
Oh
I've done
shit. Yeah.
more
'Cause you're
than
like
once.
all this time in that.
And so it starts to move down and just all of a sudden you hear like plastic cracking and like gear
Oh
grinding. I would say the most actual death-defying was the first cut I ever did on my table saw. I just wasn't paying attention and just like brushed my hand across, like to like, oh, there's sawdust on my saw tabletop, and I brushed my hand. I don't know how I missed the blade.
yeah, you've had
It's
a
just like,
few bumps and bruises. You're known to to get a nick here or there.
I don't know that that's accurate. Not on my power tools. Like, you know, I bleed a fair amount, but it's usually on hand tools and stuff that's not quite as dangerous. But yeah, I've almost taken my finger off on the first time I used my table saw, and ever since.
Yeah, I think the second day of high caliber camp, he was walking around with bandages all over every hand. But it's from blisters.
Yeah, maybe that's true.
Yeah.
I bleed for my art. That's my rule. I have to bleed for my art.
Nothing wrong with that.
All right, so I'm going to change up three tools. You've been on, you know the gist of it. And I'm going to say for your bamboo lab specifically, do you have three things that you wish they would invent and put into the machine or change about the machine? Or what are your three? Because obviously, I don't know if there's anybody on the planet who has run bamboo labs more than you. So give me three. Like,
man, that's a real good question that I do not have. You have to
give got one. I've got one that I'm going to give to you right now. Bed?
Let's hear yours.
Huh? Go ahead.
I think that they should invent a project sweeper that after it completes print, it just pushes everything off and it just shoves it out of the machine. So it's ready to set up again. Like once it cools down, they're so loose anyways. Like it would just be a broom that just pushes everything out the front and then it's like ready to go again.
Yeah, that's a pretty cool idea.
Okay.
I mean, you're right. A bigger build size would be nice. You know, the bigger you get, the more problems that come. Everything is exponential as far as build space. I don't know if you guys saw, what was it? Maybe Elegoo, one of the 3D printer brands came out with a printer. It was on Kickstarter. It was like the size of a room. It was, you know, the build space was like, I mean, it was 5 or 6 feet by like 5 or 6 feet cubed. And my wife told me to buy it. And I'm like, oh, the only place we have in our house to put it would be our living room. And I don't think we want to commit to it that much. But man, that thing was cool looking. So yeah, bigger build volume would be pretty cool. But honestly, I've been really pleased with its capabilities. So I think that I don't really have a whole lot that I would change about it. Because it is the first, I think it is the printer that's going to make printer is making 3D printing like a household thing.
Yeah, and
it's so like Keith says, now you just have to have knowledge, you know. So it is a
skill.
It is just it's very much, you may not get the best possible prints without a little bit of skill, but you can unbox it and get 90% of the way there without having to know anything. Just plug and just press print, and that's a first. And that's why I think it's like, you know, for so long Prusa was the gold standard and it has just blown past it. And I think that's why it's the first printer that's literally almost plug and play. It is changing the game. And I think we are on the path to legitimately see 3D printers in just regular people's houses, like microwaves, to print stuff that they need for around the house.
I'll tell you the one I'd like to see, to be able to put the carbon filament or the carbon fiber filament in the AMS.
You can run, I mean, you'll wear your parts out, but you can run it. It's the TPU you can't run in the AMS. But yeah, I know what you're saying. I play it fast and loose. Like, I'll put glow in the dark. I put carbon fiber. I'm like, fuck it. I'll wear out my gears. I don't care. Let's just run it.
Maybe I need a carbon fiber B1 battle droid. That cost me like $1,000.
I said, you got the money. Yeah, at least. But, you know, it'd be totally worth it. Totally worth it.
You're right. Totally worth it.
Thanks for joining us today. If you like this episode, please give us a review and subscribe. We'd love to hear from you. So reach out to us on Instagram at Making Our Way Podcast or on Patreon. You can find all of our latest individual content on Instagram or YouTube. I'm at High Caliber Craftsman. Dean is at Dean_Duplantis, and Christy is at Twisted Twine Woodworking. Lick it, stick it, see you later, bye.
First tier Patreon, we've got Jacob from Griffin Makes, Jacob from Other Dog Design, Keith Drennan from Blackthorn Concepts, Justin from Bear Maked, Jeff Stein, a weird guy, Dave Bauer, Caitlin Landreno, Morley Kurt, Greg from Platte Valley Woodworks, Brendan McDonough from McDonough Design, The Grant Alexander, Jan Griffin, the Black Sheep, Brian from Moonshine Leatherworks, The Makeshift Podcast, Maritime Knife Supply, Henry Perry at HT1 Metalworks, Brad Harrison from Brad's Customs, Steve Delaney from One Old School Pirate, Kelsey Watson, Dan Gallagher, Goofballs by Dan, Chris Powell, Full Steam Design, Spaghetti and Waffles, Rebecca Johansson, Ira Housework, Eric from Overall Makerworks, Ed Johns from ButtJoints.com, David Beckwith, Rob DeMarco, Dave from Atomic Airship Works, Earl the Third, XYZ, Dana and Emmett at Rescue Room on Summit, Max at Camp Arrowhead, and Luke at LJB Makes. Thanks a bunch, folks.